Bezal Shem Mizbeach, we begin Perek Shlishi, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Gezeilah Vaveid, in the laws of robbery and of a lost object in the Sefer Nezikin, the Book of Damages. We continue the theme of the previous Perek discussing regarding the Kinyan Gezeilah and how that applies in this Perek to when there's a change of the value of the stolen object and regarding different types of theft, how something could be stolen. As Rambam gives Halacha Aleph regarding this Halacha of the change of the value of the stolen object, someone robs a barrel of wine from his friend, and that was worth only one dinar when it was stolen. Then it went up in value by the robber, and that was worth 4 dinarim. So if he breaks the barrel, or he drinks it, or he sells it, or he gives it as a gift, and all these things, either one of them, if it was after already went up in value, so Meshalem Arba, so he has to pay actually 4 dinarim, Keshasei Tzomen Olam, how much it was worth when it was destroyed from the world. She'ilu Hinicha, because had he left it as is, Hoysech Ezeres Ba'atzma, it would have been given back as it is. And then the increase of the value would have gone to the owner, as we said in the previous parak in Halacha Tezayin. So therefore now when he breaks the barrel, he's essentially stealing the extra 3 dinarim besides the dinar that he originally stole. And therefore, he has to pay 4 dinar. Now, if Nishba Me'ilel, if it broke by itself or it got lost by itself, then Mishalem Dinar Keshas Gzeila, didn't do anything wrong at that moment, then he only has to pay the dinar value that it was when he actually did his act of stealing. Halacha Beis. He says, Shava B'Shas Gzeila Arba. Let's say the other way around. Let's say when he robbed it, it was worth 4 dinar. U'B'Shas Tzomen Olam Dinar, when he destroyed it, it was only worth a dinar. So Mishalem Arba, Keshas Gzeila, he has to still pay the 4 dinar worth, which is what his liability was when he did the original act of stealing, bein sheshvada, whether he broke it or shesaw, or he drank it, bein shenishbara, of the melel, whether it broke or was lost by itself, it doesn't make a difference because he's liable for that original act, which was for the chenkei, it was anything that's similar to this type of case. Halacha gimel, hagoizel chaisel, if someone steals a basket, sheish pechamishim tamarim, that has inside of it 50 dates, if you sell the whole basket as one, so that's bulk, so you would sell for 9 dinarim. Now if you sell each one individually, you make more when you sell an individual. So it would be sold for a total of 10 dinarim. One more dinar. So the one that stole only has to pay 9 dinarim worth, not 10. And the one who was stolen from cannot say to him, wait a second, I would have sold each one independently. No, because he stole this big unit of 50, which as one, it's worth only 9. Same thing applies when someone damages that type of a basket with 50 dates. And anything that's something like this regarding the properties of a regular person. But when it comes to the consecrated properties of the Hekdash of Hashem, there it's not the case. El Mishal Masor, rather there you would have to pay 10, not 9, because by Hekdesh we're more stringent. Halacha Dal, Gozel Behemah V'Hizkino. Someone steals an animal and it gets old. A kachash, or similarly, if let's say he weakened it, a kachash in Yochel Achzer, a type of weakness that it cannot get back to its original vigor. Kugeng Chaloim Shelem Refuz Ta'ala, like for example, an illness that it will never heal from. A Shagozel Mat Be'e Benistak, or let's say he stole a coin and it cracked. Now it doesn't have utility anymore. Ipsal HaMelech, or the government already invalidated the currency. Oishikozal Paris Vekiva Kulam, or if let's say he stole produce and all of them rotted. Oishikozal Yayim Hechem, so he stole wine and it soured. So all these cases, Hareza Kimisha Gozal Kli Ushabari, it's like you stole a vessel and you broke it because it cannot come back to its original state where you don't give back the actual stolen item, rather its monetary value. And Mishalem Keshas Gzeila, and all these cases, you're going to pay for how much it was worth when it was stolen. But in contrast, so let's say you steal an animal, and it gets weakened, but it could be reinvigorated again. Or even if one stole slaves and they got older, with the actual halachas, you actually have to give back the slave itself. Because regarding biblical law, an eved has a halacha like real estate, and just like karka cannot be stolen, so too an eved, and therefore as it is, so even if he got older in contrast to the animal, let's say he stole a coin, and it only became invalid, void, in this country, but it could be used in another state, or if he stole produce and only some of them rather, a truma benitmus, or a truma that became tame, which it's forbidden to be eaten, and also its permissibility of any benefit is limited, and therefore it has a lower value, but nothing actually happened intrinsically to the truma itself, And so to all the other cases, the actual stolen item, nothing happened to it, but there's certain limitations now that are attached to it. For example, Oisha Gazal Chametz Rabbalah Pesach. Someone stole 11 product, and now Pesach already passed by, and now it's going to be forbidden to have benefit. Or Behema, or let's say stole an animal, and the sin was done with it. For example, let's say it was sodomized, which now you cannot sacrifice it as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Or Nipsal Milikar, or became invalid from being brought as a carbon. For example, if there's an unrecognized blemish, like for example, cataracts in the eyes. Or Shaisa Yetzli Sakhal, or let's say an animal going out to be stoned. For example, if it killed a person, or sodomized, or was sodomized with the testimony of witnesses, which it has to be stoned. In all these cases, Oymaloi, the robber could tell to the victim, here, this is what's yours is in front of you, because nothing actually would change the actual stolen item itself. And it returns the item itself, even if it's forbidden to have benefit, and it has no value whatsoever. It doesn't make a difference. He could give him back, as is. When do we say this, that he could tell him, here, this is yours, and take it back? Is if he returns the stolen object, and it's as it was when it was stolen, because nothing changed, even though it has no value. Let's say the stolen object was burnt, or got lost after it was ready for ben tavano, as in some of the cases from the previous halachim. Then he has to give back the monetary value as it was worth when he stole it. At that point, when he stole it, it was permitted and it had value. Therefore, because he's not giving back the actual item itself. Only if he can say, Arishal Chabanecha, okay. But if not, obviously he's causing a loss. But if it's the object, you give it back. Here it was already burnt or lost, which is not the case. So the Fikach live from Kofar Boy. So if he denies what he stole, after that it was already forbidden to have benefit. So though really he's not denying money, because at that moment the stolen object wasn't worth anything, but Vinishman he swears, Chayim L'sham Karen B'chemish V'ashim, he has to pay the principal, the added fifth, and the carbon ashram, because since if it would be stolen or lost after it was ready for ben to have hana, the gazan would be mechuyev to pay. So it is like money, and therefore he's liable for his denial for the principal, the fifth, and the carbon ashram. Halacha Bav continues regarding robbing and causing damage. So hagoyz l'behema. So if someone steals an animal, but nosalam masa, and he carries a load on the animal, or rochabalah, or rides on the animal, or chadash, or dashbo, or he threshes with it, or he plows with it. Okay, it's about and think similar like this. And he returns the animal to the owner. So although he violated the negative prohibition of not to steal, doesn't have to pay anything because he didn't cause him any loss. And he didn't weaken it. It is as it is. He's giving back as is. Obviously, he stole and that was forbidden. Now, however, if this person has already established a pattern, ligzol to steal, or lashok, or to extort from people, or lasses maisim elu, or to do these types of similar, obviously forbidden activities, where he's getting away with things, just stealing, giving back, pamachapam, time after time, so then koitzenaisik. Then they do penalize him, and they obligate him to pay, even though from the primary halacha he's exempt to pay. And this is vafilu b'chutzlaus, even out of Eretz Yisrael, which generally don't do dina knasas, laws of penalties, out of Eretz Yisrael. V'shomen ha-sachar, and we evaluate the wages regarding if the person was carrying a load on it or riding on it, or the increase, the value he got, let's say he plowed with the animal, which he has to pay for how much benefit he got from the outgrowth of that plowing, and he has to pay that value to the victim. Halacha Zayin, if someone grabs his friend's slave, and he does work with him, and they didn't stop him from doing any of the work that he had to be doing at that moment, Potter is exempt, because it's pleasurable, it's preferred for a person that his servant should not just be idle, so he's actually happy someone else is using him. But if he stopped him by using him from the other work that he had to do for his master, then he has to pay like a worker, which he's benefiting from by using that person's slave. Which, in the previous halacha, we were talking about where someone steals an animal, does work, he's potter. Then the Rambam didn't differentiate between if it's being mevatel animal from other work or not. That's because in both cases, he's going to be exempt, because the moment he steals him, he required already the animal for its shvach. But an eved is like karka, which cannot be stolen. So therefore, he's always in the property of his owner, and therefore he has to pay the owner the schar of his malacha in a situation where he caused the owner loss by not being able to do the work he had to do for his master. Let's say someone grabs his friend's boat. Ba'asav ha-malacha does work with it. So it depends. Im ein asud l'sachar, if it's not meant for renting, so shaman kama pechasa umesham. So we have to evaluate how much did he depreciate the boat, because it's not meant for renting, so it's like like a gazan, essentially. And a gazan by movable items doesn't pay wages, as we said in Halacha Vav. It just pays kashas akzeh, like we said regarding the animal. Mishama, that's how much he pays. But v'im hiasu l'sachah, but let's say this boat is used for rental. So im yard libetar schiris. So if this person, his intention was to do work with the boat and to pay the wages, so hil v'yard shlibishos, since he went and used the boat without permission, meaning had he done it with the permission of the owner, so he would then only pay the how much the rental would be for the boat. Even the situation where there's a depreciation, even more than the value of the boat, doesn't make a difference. That's what happens with rental. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes the value goes down by the person using it. But since in this situation he used it without permission, so now the owner has his choice. If the owner wants to take the rental price, in a situation, obviously, where the rental would be more than depreciation. So nicely, he could take that. If he wants to take the depreciation, where if, let's say, the depreciation of the boat was worth more than how much the rental would be, so then nicely, he could take that too. So this was all if the person was coming without permission to use it in the medium of a rental. Now, but if he was coming to take the person's boat in the medium of trying to steal it, then in all situations, he gives the depreciation, even if the rental is more than the depreciation, because like a gazlan, he only pays kashas exil. You don't look at how much it goes down after the time it was stolen. And I mean, you only give it how much he's causing the loss, not necessarily regarding rental. And anything that's similar like this, which if depends if it's vessels that are meant for renting or not, then it's going to have that differentiation where if it's meant for renting, so then if it's something that he was using for the purposes of betoyris chiris, so and it's meant for sachar. So then, since it was a permission, the owner gets to choose. But again, if the person was using betoyris gezel, so then he's going to give the pchas. Halacha tes. Hador b'chatzah chaverish limidaiter. All these are similar cases, but different variables and different halachas. So someone dwells in his friend's courtyard limidaiter without his awareness, without his permission. So im oitzah chatzah in asul sachar. Again, a similar differentiation. If that quarter was not meant for renting, so in the tzarchal leisachar, he doesn't have to pay him anything, because real estate is what it is. It always remains that way, and there's no wages over here. Now, afa bishaderech zehador, even though the norm for the gazlan, so to speak, the guy who is living over there, even though his norm is lisker mokum asma, he usually rents a place for himself. Doesn't make a difference because this is what's called shazen nana. He's benefiting b'zein lechaser, and the owner is not losing anything because nothing's happening over here, and he wouldn't rent it out anyway. So it's not the benefit of the dweller that is the primary variable. It's rather dependent on if the owner of the courtyard is losing or not. So if the courtyard is meant for renting out, and even if the one who's squatting over there doesn't usually rent, it doesn't make a difference. He would have to pay the rental price because he's causing loss to him by having used up the space that he wasn't renting it out to someone else. Halacha Yud. So let's say someone had wool and he had dyes that were soaking that as to color garments. Someone comes along, but he takes that person's dye and soaks that guy's wool inside those ingredients without the intention, without the appointment of his friend. So the halacha is mishlam lo demei mashahivse b'tzemer. So he has to pay him back the monetary value of what he caused the loss of the guy's white wool, where if the value of the colored wool is worth less than white clean wool, he has to pay that loss of the wool. But it's seemingly that the value of the dye that he used up, he doesn't have to pay him, because again, depending on the interpretation of the next words, he could claim, "What do you mean? Your dyes are here. It's in the wool." And the words are, "V'ein mechashav leshavach samon mshagah beitzemer." Does not calculate for him the increase of the dye that's on the wool, which some say that actually the word should be umechashev lei shevach saman shagah beitzemer. In other words, he tells him that the dye of yours is on the wool, which is essentially that idea that we said, that he doesn't have to pay for the dye because it's over here. But v'mtavas anizik, but if the victim grabs demei, the value of mashachisim saman, what he caused the loss from his dye, now it's not here anymore, it's in the wool, then imetimiyad, you don't take it away from him, because he could claim, well, if the dyes were as they were originally, it would be worth money. Now, it's not worth money. Yeah, it's here. It's still here. It's not lost. It's in the wool, but I can't use it. And therefore, you're not going to be able to take it away. But if you grab it, you don't take it away from the victim. Halacha Rav continues with a similar type of gazlan. Hashalech yod bepikad. If someone is watching someone's deposit, and then he goes and he, what's called, stretches out his hand. He takes the deposit, moves it from where it is to another place in this house with the intention of taking it, stealing it for himself. So, whether he stretched out his hand himself, or he has his son or his slave or his agent to do it, doesn't make a difference. He's a gazan, is considered as a robber. And from that point on, we've been nischay ba'nasav, he's already liable for all einsim, for all happenstance that happened to this object. And now the robbery happened in his domain. Kedin kalag hagazlan, like all robbers, even though it's in his property anyway. But now it's different because he's not watching; he's taking it for himself. But let's say chashav l'shloch yod bepikod. Let's say only thought, even if people overheard him, that he's going to stretch out his hand and misappropriate the deposit in the chabachu. So he's not going to be liable for the responsibility as a for einzin. For whatever shemir is, it could be for pshia or something like less than that. And shishloch yod, until he actually goes and moves it for his own purposes. Now, umeshashaloch yod, when he does stretch out his hand and he moves it for himself, nischay bo, he's liable, and that apishlechis meniklum, even though he didn't cause any loss to the object itself. Ella not lapikod mimakom lamakom meshusik adilishloch yod, as long as he took the deposit from wherever it was to another place in his property with the intention of misappropriating it. In other words, if he moved it for the benefit of that object that it's protected over there, obviously wouldn't be liable. But he was moving it to use it for himself. So he's a chayv, he's going to be liable like a gazan, shashlichas yod, in the tzichik sarin, because the halacha of stretching out a hand, of moving it for oneself, doesn't need to cause any loss to create this liability. Lochid beis. He gibi asachavis. Let's say he lifted up a barrel, litl memen revias, because he wanted to take just a quarter of a leg. Now, he didn't have intention to steal the whole barrel, he just wanted to take a revias of a leg. Still, nischayv ba'an tzahah. He's liable for the ointment of the whole entire barrel, even though he didn't intend to take the whole thing. The reason for that is because it's preferable to him that the whole barrel should be as a base for this quarter of lug that he wants to take. Because since what's inside the barrel, when it's full, it's better protected and it doesn't lose its taste, its flavor, and therefore he's going to be liable for the whole barrel. And afa pishlei notel, even if he didn't take that more than what he was, even if he didn't take anything, as long as he was misappropriating it for the purposes of taking the revias. Now, avil mikbiya as a kiss. But let's say he lifted up a purse, a wallet, litam in the dinner to take out of it one dinner, v'kiyitzai, b'kiss, or similar from a purse, midvam she'enu gufecha, that are not one entity, like dinar, where every dinner is its own property, in contrast to wine, where all the wine in the barrel is really one entity, not independent. So in that situation, there is a safek, that's a situation of doubt. In the schayv b'kol kiss, would he be liable in the whole purse, like by wine, because a full purse actually is still better protected and you're not going to lose it like when you have individual coins? Or maybe not going to be liable only for that one dinner, because also one dinner is well protected and therefore it's not comparable to wine, where the wine is better when you have it all together. So that's a situation of doubt. Let's say there was produce deposited by him that he's watching for someone else. But not to him, and he takes some of them. He's only responsible for the insurance of the produce that he took. But the rest of the deposit, that's still in its original place, but it's still in the property, in the domain of the owner. But if the rest gets ruined because of what he took, then he's going to be liable for the rest and all of it, like the halacha of a mazik, of someone who's harming. So what does that mean? So let's say he tilted the barrel in its place. So he didn't lift it up. So if you lift it up, then you would be doing on the whole thing. No, he tilted it. But not in revi, so he took a quarter or more. In nishbura achash enotel, if it broke after he took it, vihibim kaim, and it's in the original place, so you're right, in the chayv l'kamash enotel, it won't be liable for how much he took. Sure, like biach, but didn't lift up the barrel, wasn't kind of the whole thing, he just took what he took, and that's what he's liable for. So that's what we said in the first half. But vimechmitza, but if let's say, after he took his revias, it then soured, that's what's saying, Mishamas to make cool, you'd have to pay the value of the whole thing, because the way of wine is that it ferments when there's very little inside. Had he not taken his revias aloig, then the barrel would have not have quickly soured. So therefore, he's liable for all of it, because he caused that like a mazik, and he's going to have to pay kashas hagizela, how much it was worth when it was stolen, which the value of the barrel of wine, which is when he took the revias, because that's essentially when he stole. And anything similar like this will have the halacha liability on the whole thing. Halacha Dalet continues regarding another type of stealing, this time of denying regarding the deposit that he has. Someone denies that he has someone else's thing that he's watching, even if he doesn't swear regarding his denial. If he does this bevesdin in the court, in contrast, out of the courts, that wouldn't be considered halachically like a denial. That imhoyer b'shusa b'shoshakava, if it's really in his property when he denied, then nasa lov gazlan, he becomes, the moment he does this denial, he becomes a gazlan, and v'chai b'antzad, if he's going to be liable for the einzin. So although he didn't literally take anything, he didn't pick up anything from halacha gzeila, that itself will make him as a gazlan. So from the beginning of the parak, the Rambam first was describing literally a gazlan up through halacha yud. From halacha yudav to halacha yudalad was regarding the halacha of shaleich yad bebekodin, misappropriating a deposit, which halacha like a gazlan, on the condition that he moved it for the purposes of shaleich yad. Now this halacha is told regarding denying a deposit, where there also halacha is like a gazlan, even though he didn't touch the deposit where it remained in its place, but because of his denial. Halacha tezvav continues with another type of gazlan. If someone borrows something without permission, someone borrows something without the awareness of the owner, where he takes the object of someone not to steal it, to take it for himself, he just wants to use it. In contrast to the previous halacha of denying a deposit, where his intention was, even though he wasn't touching anything, but it was to keep it for himself, he just wants to use it, still he's a gazlan. Just even borrowing without permission is also like a robber. Let's say there was a vessel in the hand of the son or the slave of a homeowner. And then another individual goes and takes and uses that vessel. Here's a shayosh lamedas. He's borrowing without permission. It's like in his property. And he's liable for any incident that happens because a shayosh lamedas is chayv ba'intzin, even if he didn't even use it because of the rights to use it, that would make him into a shayosh. That meaning, that's if someone borrows with permission, a regular shoyl, the four shoyl, he's chayv an einzin, even if he didn't use it. But shoyl shaloy medas bailam, if he's borrowing without permission, then he does not become a shoyl to be chayv an einzin, only if he's utilizing it, then that makes him into the gazan to be chayv an einzin, until he returns it to the owners. If he gives it back to that child, or the slave who was originally holding it, and he puts it back in his hands, and it gets lost from the child, or it breaks, he has to pay because it's not considered a return of what he stole. He has to actually return it to the owner. It's not enough to give it back to the cut. Anything something like this. Halacha Zayin continues with another type of misappropriating someone's property that's like a gazlan. If someone grabs away mashkin, collateral, which is someone's object that has value, miyad alevi, from someone who borrowed money from him, who owes him money, but he didn't pay, but he's taking a shleibish bezin without the permission of the courts, it is a gazlan. He's considered a robber, although that person owes him money. He has no right to just grab away the person's item. To say, that if he goes into the friend's house and he takes the collateral, which that's forbidden even for the agent of the court, that for sure, Shugazan that is considered as a robber, Shnamak says the Pasuk in the Barim, Bachud Stamba, you have to stand on the outside and he brings you the collateral. But to go into his house, that's forbidden, and that the person would be considered like a Gazan.